It is indeed a joyful morning. It is indeed the Lord's Day. It is indeed Christmas Day. And I am so thankful you have chosen to spend it here, at least the morning, at the Azalea City Church of Christ. If you are, as has been mentioned, visiting with us, thank you. We're glad that you're here with your family. We're glad that you're here with our forever family. I do recognize to our children and to the adults as well that I am what stands in between. Good food, good presents. So my gift to you is we'll try to get through this. But I can't end this series without talking about the gift of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as we started out just a few weeks ago in Luke chapter 2, He was born of His mother Mary. They did not have any room in the inn. He was laid in a manger, and there were shepherds in the field. There the shepherds were told to go in, and you will find in a manger the Son of God. He will be wrapped in swaddling cloths. And there, when you go in, as we know it, you will unwrap Him. And as we know, He will be the Son of God. But on that day, what did those shepherds unwrap? As we talked about just a few weeks ago, they unwrapped hope. As Jesus Christ came into the world, remember, there had been 400 years from the last words from God. Malachi quit talking. They went into a 400-year silent period, longing for those prophecies to come true. The King of Israel, the King of the Jews, the King of all kings was going to be born. And on that day, that hope was unwrapped. Also on that day, as we talked about the next week, peace was unwrapped. We live in a world of conflict. They lived in a time of conflict. There was conflict that went on between so many, the Romans and others that were attacking them. There are so many today that are attacking us. But when those shepherds unwrapped that gift, peace was born into the world. Peace that passes all understanding. And as those shepherds unwrapped that gift, last week we talked about love was born. Not love like we know today, even though we know love today. A love like no other. In fact, as Paul reminded us in 1 Corinthians 12, it was a love that was the more excellent way. Today, as those shepherds unwrapped that gift, as we just sang about, joy to the world was born. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to John chapter 15. Let's read together verses 11 through 17. The words now of Jesus Christ. These things I have spoken to you, that My joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is My commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are My friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from My Father I have made known to you. You did not choose Me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in My name, He may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, I recognize Jesus is talking to His disciples. But that message still rings true. In fact, I like the way one version puts it in verse 11 when it reads like this, "I have told you these things so that you will be filled with My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow." This morning, I don't know if you had some goodies waiting for you, but sometimes on Christmas morning, besides the gifts, there may be some yummy breakfast or some yummy whatever. And sometimes it overflows, right? You get so much on your plate, maybe that'll happen a little bit, it overflows, you have to pick it up, or maybe you're drinking something and you put it on a saucer and it overflows. Folks, there's so much joy that Jesus Christ offers that it ought to be overflowing today. It ought to overflow out of our lives. But when we turn on our televisions, we turn on our internet, we turn on our social media, our cell phones, whatever it may be, what do we see? We see hatred. We see uncertainty. We see terrible sins. We see terrible things happening to babies and young children. We see things that are against the Bible being glorified. We see debt. We see depression. We see all kinds of things. All of these type things make up the news. But we need more joy. So therefore, we need more Jesus. Let's turn to a time in history where there was a lot of joy. Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 15. Read along with me now as I began to read. Matthew 2, beginning in verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is He who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and have come to worship Him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd My people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" I don't believe that, by the way. "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced," here it is, "with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Verse 13. "Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt I called My son.'" Now that's a beautiful story of joy. However, there was a joy stealer in that story named Herod. Herod was threatened. Herod's throne. Again, when folks became king, when they got into power, I have no idea how Herod was before then, but I know when he was in power and many other kings like him were in power, it went to their head. And they didn't want anybody to overtake their authority. But all of a sudden, these wise men know this star is going to lead them to that exceedingly great joy, to the King of Kings. And Herod was threatened. Herod lacked joy. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem. What an evil man. And in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. If Herod would have just been as excited as those wise men to seek out joy, to open the gift of joy, then his life and all those babies' lives, those toddlers' lives, all their lives would have been much different. Those mamas' lives, those daddy's lives, where they came in and they took those children. But what was missing? Jesus Christ. What was missing? Joy to the world. So how do we keep from being Herod? How are we more like those wise men? I believe we do the following thing. Number one, just like those wise men, we need to seek the light. What did they follow? It says, "For we have seen His star in the east and have come to worship Him." Today is the day. If you've been in the dark, it's time to seek the light. It's time to follow the star. It's time to follow the light. Herod said, "Go and search carefully for the young child." Well, truth be told, if that was really the advice that he wanted to worship him, that would be great advice. Today we need to seek carefully Jesus Christ. We need to search, we need to seek, because he's not hard to find. The wise men, when they saw the star, what did they do? They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, because true joy comes from Jesus Christ. But you know, the joy leaves us when we quit seeking the star in the sky. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 and following. "This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sins." How am I more like the wise men and much less like Herod? I seek the light. I seek the star. Paul said in Colossians 3, we must seek the things that are above. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, it must come a point in time when we put away childish things. Galatians 3:27, Paul said, we must be baptized into Christ in order to put on Christ. Joy is not in misery. Joy is not in sin. Joy is not in darkness. Do we want joy to return to this world? Do we want joy to return to our lives? Then we must first seek the light. Secondly, this morning, maybe, we must stop the lies. If we want true joy to return to our lives, or to come to our lives, or help to return it to the world, we must stop the lies. Herod said, "I want to come to the king." That was a lie. Herod wanted to see the king. That was a lie. Herod wanted to worship the king. That was a lie. You know what Herod wanted to do? He wanted to kill the king. He didn't want to see him to worship him. He didn't want to see him to celebrate with him. He didn't want to see him to have joy over him. He didn't want to worship him. It was lie after lie after lie. Herod was a liar. Satan is a liar. "This won't kill you." That's what he told Eve. "God doesn't want you to be like him." He tells us sin is fun. He tells us things in life, material things, matter much more than God. He tells us you don't have to worship God, especially if you don't feel like it or don't want to. He tells us lie after lie after lie. But we've got to be like those wise men. They were told the truth, and they obeyed it. Remember, they were told, go another way. That truth they listened to. That truth they obeyed. Whatever lie Satan is telling you today, you got to quit listening to it. We got to listen to the truth. Thirdly, this morning, if I want joy to be in my life, and I want to open that gift of joy to me today, to my family today, to the world today, then I thirdly need to submit our lives. Listen to this power that was brought to us from these wise men. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Now listen, there's some phenomenal little children here. I mean, I love the little children that we have. I've got great nieces and nephews. I've got nieces and nephews. They've grown up and now they've got babies. I don't know why they're getting older and I'm not. But anyhow, I've got these wonderful great nieces and great nephews and such. And I love them now. And I'll get on the floor and I'll play and I'll try little Hudson. Hudson's not really little, but big little Hudson. He was there yesterday and I'm just trying to make him laugh and he's laughing and everything. And, you know, we do all these things, but we don't worship them. You think, I don't know how, Jesus could have been 2 years old at this point. I don't know. That's maybe why the decree was 2 years and younger. Chances are he's a child now. He's not an infant anymore. It takes time to get all this word out and everything, right? But however old he is, let's say he's two, let's say he's one, let's say he's a few months. I'm not sure. But listen, can you imagine the scene? These wise men who've come from all around, from all over this far way, been led by a star. The stars stop right over him. They go in. The first thing they do is bow down and worship. What a scene. Once they found the Lord, they bowed down and worshiped him. We see the light. No matter what, we must follow it. No matter what, we don't listen to the lies. We obey the truth. Well, it comes down to submitting our lives to the Lord. Oh, I know there are a lot of distractions. I know in the school halls, there are distractions to keep us. In the workplace, there are distractions. Maybe even in the home. Certainly, if we fill our lives with hobbies. Certainly, if we fill our lives with athletics and different things that come in the way. Selfish desires. There are a lot of different things that can get in the way today of us bowing down and submitting our lives to the true joy. You know, I'd love to tell you it's Christmas Day and this is all good news, but the truth of the matter is we have children here, maybe not here today, but we have teenagers here, yeah, maybe not here today, and we have parents, we have others who, if we're honest, they're submitting themselves to other things than the Lord. You know, we think about our lives. We think about what we do. Maybe we're leading here. Maybe we're teaching here. Maybe we're doing things. We need to ask ourselves, Am I just going through the motions? Am I going through the motions as a father, a Christian father, a Christian husband, a leader, a Christian wife, a Christian mother, a Christian lady in the workplace, in the community? Are we submitting ourselves to the Lord? If we're going to, let me say it this way. If I submit myself to my job like I've currently submitted myself to the Lord, is the boss going to keep me employed? If we said in school, if I submitted myself to my academics the way that I submit to the Lord, am I going to pass my classes? If I'm an athlete or I have another extracurricular that I am so good at, if I submit myself to that sport or that dance or that whatever it is, the way that I submit to the Lord, am I going to make the team? Why do you see so many joyless people walking around? Because something else is trying to give them their joy besides Jesus Christ. True joy only comes from Jesus. There are a lot of things I can find some happiness in. I can find some moments, some time, some happiness. You think about if you opened just this morning, there was a lot of happiness. Then there was a lot of wrapping paper. Because it was over in a matter of moments. Now, yeah, they're going to enjoy the gifts and all that, but all that buildup, all that, it's gone right like that quick. It's the same way sometimes with happiness. We build it up, it's going to be great, it's going to be great, we're going to be great, we're going to do this, we're going to do this, we forget God. And then all of a sudden, we're left empty. How do we return the joy? We submit our lives. Last one this morning. We got to spread the love. When the wise men got there, they opened their treasures. I love that, right? They brought gifts, but they opened these treasures. And they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These were all gifts of love. You can understand the value of gold even today. The incense to burn, to make a soothing aroma, the myrrh to help with pain. All these things were very, very valuable. And so they brought the best of what they have from the love in their heart to the newborn Messiah. What are we doing? What are we doing today in 2022? What are we doing to help the joy deficiency in this world? God is love. We've got to spread the love. When it comes down to it, we need to be living joy-filled lives so that others will want what we have. In Acts 16, isn't that what that Philippian jailer wanted? He wanted what Paul and Silas had. They were overflowing with joy. Even after they had been beaten, even after they had been arrested, even after they had been left in a prison to maybe never see the light of day again. Today, as we go back and we think, Luke chapter 2, one last time this year, those shepherds got the word. You'll find them in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. They probably were a lot more gentle than some of the presents' fate this morning. But they went in and they opened up the gift. They unwrapped the gift. Yes, it was a baby. But there was joy to the world. Today is Christmas Day. The greatest gift we can give. He's still saying snake in the boot, by the way. He hasn't forgotten. I love Gabe. Today is Christmas Day. There'll be a lot of gifts given, if there haven't been already, and a lot of gifts received. But the greatest gift we could give our family today, the greatest gift, husbands, even if you're last minute, you could give your wife the greatest gift the wives could give their husbands, the friends could give their friends, the children that are of age could give their parents, is to open the gift of Jesus Christ in their lives today. To be immersed in water for the remission of their sins. To put on Jesus Christ. To put on hope. To put on peace. To put on love. To put on joy. To put on Jesus. Won't you do it right now? Together, we stand and sing.